that's good. That is good. I like that. And Brian Lemons, one of our seniors, graduates, you know, he's heading, oh, thank you, ma'am. He's heading to New Orleans to go to seminary and to train to be a worship pastor. And so God's going to use him, and just so excited. I'm grateful for he can move a pulpit. He can sing. He can do all kinds of stuff. Man, isn't that cool? I love Senior Recognition Day because it is the future. It is hope. It is an opportunity to look to a tomorrow that oftentimes when you're a young person graduating from high school, there's a lot of unknowns, right? There's a lot of things out there you're not really sure about. If college is the right, you know, the route you're going to take, you're not even really certain, maybe 100% of what you want to study, what you want your degree to be when you're done. Not even really sure of what you want to do with the rest of your life. And making some of these decisions that are big decisions. I want to share with you a favorite poem of mine. And I know our graduates have kind of scattered out. But I want to talk to them, but I want everybody else. This message really is not just for them. We're continuing through the book of James. And God, in God's providence, he has us at a great place to challenge our seniors, our graduates, to answer some questions. One of probably the greatest questions, what's God's will for my life, right? What about my future plan? What am I to do? What direction am I to go with my future? And one of my favorite poems, and I'm not a big poetry guy. There's all kinds of poems out there. You know, you have those that are, you know, sometimes just little couplet poems, the ones that they're really quick and easy for you. And then, you know, one of the favorites is Onomatopoeia, right, where it kind of makes the sound. But this one is a lyric poem. And it's written by Robert Frost. And it speaks about a decision in life. Now, if you can do me a favor, I want you to imagine this morning that you are standing, that all of us are standing at a fork in our life. Robert Frost described it as roads or paths for us to take. And if we were standing in a woods this morning with two trails that went out from us and two different decisions of paths to go, we would sit there and think, well, this may be an insignificant decision for us to make, right? That it's just going down a trail. And Robert Frost is taking something that seems so insignificant and he's making it so significant in our life because he's sharing this in the fact that we make a choice in life of what direction we're going to go. The path that we're going to take for our life. And oftentimes, the decision that we make, that decision is long-term. That decision is not easily changed. And so when you make a decision of which way, which direction you're going to go at this fork in the road, whether you're a graduate today, whether you're a young single and you're deciding what direction in life am I going to go? Is God placed somebody in my life I want to spend the rest of my life with? And you're sitting on the floor. Do I get married? Do I remain single? What do I want to do with the rest of my life in a career? Do I want to go this way or that way? Maybe you're in a career and there's a fork in the road and you can make this decision. But I want to remind you before we look at this poem, every decision in life will cost you something. Amen. I want you to think about that. Every decision that you make in life, especially the more significant that decision is, the more costly that is. If you're a graduate and you decide, hey, I'm going to go to college, that decision's going to cost you, right? It's going to cost you at least 4 years of your life. It's going to cost you and your parents financially. You make a decision and say, hey, I'm going to head off in a career. I want you to know something. That decision costs something. It'll cost you something. In our life, if we're standing at a crossroad in our life and we've already gone down one path at a career, and it almost seems as if God's opening a whole new door for us, making that decision to change directions or to take another road, every decision we make has a cost to it. It may cost us time with our family or away from our family. It may cost us financially, which is really, when we think about it, it's the most significant, but it really is the most insignificant. Because time and love and people are the most significant things in our life. It's not what we wear or the amount of money that's in our bank account. It's the time that we have with each other. I want you to imagine this morning that you're standing at that crossroad. And if you want to close your eyes, I'd encourage you to do that. But I want you to listen to the words of this poem that Robert Frost wrote. It says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry that I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. He mentions that there's a decision and you can't see the end of that trail. You have to make a decision without knowing the end of it. The next verse, he says, and I took the other as just as fair, yet having perhaps a better claim. He chose one, but yet having perhaps a better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, and as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. So they looked identical, but they led in two different directions. Listen to what he says, and both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I took the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. And he ends this thought with this statement. He said, I shall be telling this with a sigh, because somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. You see, graduate, you have before you a path. Maybe the decision is, am I going to continue in this faith that has been handed to me by my parents? Or am I going to walk in a different direction in life? What path will you go on? Because somewhere ages and ages hence, those same two roads will diverge. You have to make a decision now which way your life is going to go. If you got your Bible, turn to James chapter 4. I want us to look at verse 13. It's amazing to me how God would have us. We've taken several weeks off for Easter. I'm not smart enough to plan this out. I preach James on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights when we have it. We have CLU and that finished up, and so we haven't done that much. But Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and skipping around for Easter and walking through this when we have the opportunity. And it's amazing that it just so happened, right? That where our next verse is on Graduate Recognition Sunday. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what's your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Listen to what he says. He wraps this thought up in verse 17. Therefore, because of everything that he just said, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Why did James wrap that up with that thought? Because he knows that we all stand at places in life where we have to make a decision in which direction we're going to go. Will we walk into God's will, or will we willfully walk away from God's will? And he wraps the thought up with, therefore, you who know to do good and choose not to do it. You who know to walk in the will of God and you choose not to walk that way, to you that's sin, is what he says. It is sin to willfully disobey God's will for your life. this man that James is talking about, and I'm telling you, as we've walked through the book of James, we are finishing the fourth of five chapters, and James is just completely laying this on the bottom shelf for us. I mean, he is taking life, and he is boiling it down to the most essential things for us, and he is saying, this is what it looks like to walk in faith in Jesus Christ that you can't see, longing for a place there where you've never been, yet confined to a place where physically you're here. How do you live here waiting to get to heaven? How do you live here with the Holy Spirit in you while everybody else in this world is going down the other path? How do you walk down that path? And James is just laying it out. It's making it so simple. And he's talking about very practical things, just where the rubber meets the road in our faith. And so today he answers a question, but he does it by giving an illustration of a man who made three horrible mistakes. He's choosing and he's saying and he's acting out of his own will. And so we're going to see three major mistakes right here in these few verses. And so the first one we see, and if you got a pen, now listen, especially you graduates, I want you to write these, at least these three things down today. Mistake number one, you in your life, you can make this mistake, and it's simple to do. Godless planning. Look at what verse 13 said. He talks about all of the things we will do. We're deciding. Come now, you who say. All of us say this. Today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there. We're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. Now, there is absolutely nothing that the Bible speaks against about planning or calendaring or making decisions for your life or planning out your life or even setting goals for your life. In fact, it's very important for you to set goals. I set a goal in my life a long time ago. I had a desire to get a professional doctorate degree before I turned 40. It was a goal that I set in my heart a long time ago. And when I finally achieved that goal and I received my degree in May and I turned 40 in June. But listen, I set a goal for myself. A professional, practical goal, one that I could attain, but it would take hard work. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. There's nothing wrong with strategically planning your life. But I want you to see the mistake he made. He made godless plans. And there's nothing wrong with profit. There's nothing wrong with having a business plan. That's what this guy said. But listen, he picked the period in which all this was going to happen. He said today or tomorrow. He picked the place. We're going to go to such and such a city. He had a business plan. We're going to buy and sell. And he even was counting his chickens before they hatched. And we'll have a profit. We're going to make a profit. This guy said, we're going to do this. This is the time we're going to do it. This is where we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. And this is what's going to happen. We're going to make a profit in doing that. Now, what's wrong with that? He considered everything except for what God's will was for him. He considered where he was going to go, what he was going to do, when he was going to go, and how he was going to make his profit. He was a businessman with a business plan, but he never said, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, I'll go today or tomorrow. If the Lord wills, I'll go to this city or that city. If the Lord wills. Now, you and I, we just celebrated a national holiday, not Easter, just a few weeks prior to that. The 1st of April is the atheist national holiday. I didn't know if you knew that or not. April Fool's Day, right? The Bible says that a fool says in their heart, there is no God. Now, that's what an atheist says, one who is atheistic. He does not believe in theos. He does not believe that there is a God. And so the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, is there a greater fool in all the world than an atheist? There is. Here's the greater fool. One who says there is a God and yet lives as if there isn't one. Let me run that back by you real quick. There's a greater fool than even the atheist. And oftentimes in seasons of all of our lives, we play that greater fool. That's what James is saying here. We make plans without considering the Lord's will for our life. We stand at crossroads and make decisions, and oftentimes they're large decisions, big decisions, significant decisions. And we don't base that decision on what God's will is for our life. And the greater fool than the atheist is the one who says there is a God, but lives their life as if there isn't one. They make their own decisions. They make their own plans. Godless planning is the first mistake right here in James chapter 4. You see it in verse 13. I want you to look at verse 14. The second mistake, it's not the planning, but it's dangerous presuming, presumption, presuming something. Now, watch in verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is not against future plans. But he's saying you have to have godly planning, God's will. Let's walk in God's will. And listen to what he says. Now he's going to talk to us about life. Now I know when you're a senior in high school and you're graduating and May 18th is coming and it's just a couple of weeks away and you realize, hey, you're turning a new page. You're starting a new chapter. Listen to this verse. This is one of those verses. You're like, I don't want to think about that right now. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. It's a mist, he says. It's like when we step outside and it's cold in the morning and you can see your breath. It's there for a moment and then it disappears. James says our lives are just like that mist. That life is brief. Life's fragile. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? I tell you, there was a mom who went to bed the other night. Their 14-year-old son in their house. And I can promise you, neither one of them thought tonight's the night. That 14-year-old boy did not lay his head. He had laid his head on his pillow for the last 14 years. And that night, he did not lay his head on the pillow thinking, tonight's the night. But here's reality. We're not promised tomorrow. And our life is a vapor. And compared to eternity, and we think, man, I'm going to live to be 80 or 90 years old, and we think, man, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to work this hard, and I'm going to plan, and I'm going to retire, and I'm going to get married and have 2.5 kids, and they're going to be successful, and we're going to propel them out into the world, and we plan all of these things. And James is saying, hey, listen, God's in control of all those things. It's dangerous for us to presume anything, right? We spend our life living for tomorrow, and we miss today. Our high school graduates all across the room. The first 18 years of your life, it seemed as if it went by so slow. I mean, when you're in it. Not when you're your parents, but when you're living it. You think, man, when school starts every year in August, you think, man, good night. When in the world is May going to get here, right? In summer. And then summer just goes by just like that. And then school, it's just like it just kind of drags out. The first 18 years of your life, it seems like, man, I'm never going to finish this. I'm never going to get through with this. And I want you to know something. When you walk across that stage in just a few weeks, your life hits a gas pedal. It's like that roll of toilet paper. Have you ever noticed? The closer you get to that cardboard, the faster it goes out. Right? Yeah, right now, it's been going slow. But man, the closer you get to the center of that roll, the faster it goes. Your parents just watched you on this platform, and when I said, hey, I remember when we dedicated you, in their mind, they went back to when they were standing on that platform with you. And you want to know something? I know they say it all the time. It seemed like it was yesterday. It seemed like it was yesterday. We live waiting for and wishing for tomorrow, and watch, we miss what God wants to do in us and through us and for us today. Amen. It's a vapor, it's a mist. Even if we make it to 90 in the scope of eternity, it's a mist. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that. And it really, when you read it, it's kind of a depressing book. And Solomon wrote the Song of Solomon. And he wrote that when he was young and in love. And it's a love story about the love of his life, and he describes her, and he describes their dating, he describes their relationship, and you read that, and you're like, man, this is mushy. And then he wrote much of the Proverbs, and so then he writes that in his midlife, and he's thinking, he's kind of talking to his children. It's like a dad talking to his son, giving him wisdom, pouring wisdom out in his life. Well, then Ecclesiastes, he writes it as an old man, and he's looking back on all of his yesterdays and how fast it all went. And he begins Ecclesiastes in chapter 1 in verse 2. Listen to what he says. Vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. Life is vanity. Life under the sun is vanity. What's life under the sun? It's living for tomorrow without any regard for today. It's living life under the sun. And Solomon says, I lived my life trying to accomplish things, try to acquire things. And I missed living my life with that's above the sun in perspective. And he said, it's like life is like a mist. It's a vapor. In fact, that's that word, vanity. It's so quick and so fast. How can you and I discern the will of God? I want to show you a couple of verses. If you're one of our seniors, write these down. If you're not, write these down. All right? Because this is something for all of us. And I had a wise friend of mine just the other day tell me, he said, you know how I discern the will of God? And you may want to write this out. Just write a quadrant. Just do an X in your paper there. And he said, you know what, when I'm trying to discern what God wants me to do in my life, he said, I map out four things. The first thing is, when I'm asking God, is this a door you want to open? He said, I go to Scripture and I start reading the Word of God. And if the Word of God is pointing me there, and he said, I'm not cherry picking verses to work it in my little eight ball to make it say what I want it to say. He said, I'm digging in God's Word and I'm asking God to share with me and teach me. And he said, then my prayer life's in another quadrant. So the Word of God, the prayer life, and he said, then godly counsel. He said, people around me, people who are godly, who are praying, and I seek wisdom from those who are around me. And he said, then the Spirit who's inside of me. He's going to speak to me, and he's going to lead me, and he's going to give me peace inside of me. And he said, so I plot this whole thing out, and if it hits the center, he said, I know that this is God's will for my life. If the Word of God is pointing that direction, if my prayers and God speaking to me is pointing that direction, if godly wisdom is pointing in that direction, and the Spirit who lives inside of me is overwhelming with me with peace and walking through that door, he said, I know that if I'm living life in the center, I'm making a decision that's inside the will of God. Now, I want you to turn your Bible. I've got three verses I want you to see. The first one is in Psalm chapter 32. Turn with me there. Psalms 32. If you don't turn there, it's going to be a little bit like Bible drill because we're going to be turning to three verses. But if you don't turn there, at least write these verses down. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Well, watch this next phrase. I will guide you with my eyes. And this is what the Lord just said to his people. I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eyes. Have you ever been guided by somebody's eyes before? Listen, if you're a senior today, I'm telling you, your mama has guided you with her eyes before. Amen? She didn't have to say a word. She'd give you that look. You know, I've got to stop whatever I'm doing. And listen, if you've had your mama do that, some of us, our wives do it really well. If you're not in reach for her to kick you under the table, she can guide you with her eyes. But you know what? You've got to be close enough to see that. You've got to be close enough. Now, I'm telling you, if you're acting up over here in the youth area where you normally sit and mama's in the choir, guess what? It's close enough. If you're acting up and you can see mama or daddy in the choir and they make them eyes at you, you know you better quit whatever you're doing. That's close enough. So sometimes it's across a table. Sometimes it's in the rearview mirror of the car. But you know what you got to be? You've got to be close enough. Listen to what God said. He said, listen, I want to instruct you, and I want to teach you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eyes. He can't guide you if you're away from him. The closer you are, the clearer he can guide you. You spend time in God's word. Now watch this next verse. That was Psalm 32, verse 8. I want you to turn to Isaiah, take a right. To Isaiah chapter 30. I want you to look at verse 21. Isaiah 30, 21. Your ears. He just said, I'll guide you with my eyes. Now, in Isaiah, it says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. What is that? It is the still small voice of God who lives inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He guides us with our eyes, his eyes. He speaks to us inside of us. Now watch this. Turn your Bible to John chapter 16. We're getting closer to James. Take another right. Go to John 16 and find verse 13. This is the last one, I promise. John 16, 13. It's on page 747, just like the jet. 747, if you got my same Bible. John 16, 13. Listen to what Jesus said. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. He said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And so the one that God has deposited into your life, he deposited himself into your life in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't just cover you, he indwells you for one of these purposes. To lead you and to guide you. You take a step outside of his will, you're going to know it if the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Amen. There won't be peace. There will be turmoil inside of you. You take a step in the direction of God's will, God will overwhelm you with peace in making that decision. Now watch this. Three mistakes this man's made in James. Godless planning. Dangerous presuming. Now, I want you to see the third one. Turn back to James chapter 4. Careless procrastinating. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is a word that it is so, I'm telling you, you're about to go to college. And I'm going to be honest with you, your pastor perfected this, okay? I can cram like nobody's business. But I'll tell you something, I could stay up all night long and cram for an exam. And when I took that exam, I pretty much just regurgitated that, that I've crammed into my mind. And I could walk out of there, Andrew and I took classes together, I'm a ministry student, and we took teachings of Jesus together. And she never had a B in her life. I didn't either. And we're walking out of a teachings of Jesus class. And well, she walked out a lot before I did, right after an exam. And I'm sitting there, I'm just kind of trying to regurgitate everything that I'd crammed into my mind the night before. I didn't sleep. I pulled an all-nighter. And I walk out, and she's waiting on me. And I said, "My goodness, how do you think you did?" And she said, "I can't think of any that I missed." I'm telling you, I've never said that in my life. She said, "How do you think you did?" I said, "It could go either way. You know, I mean, it could." Listen, I'm telling you, you procrastinate in your exams, you procrastinate in your schoolwork, it leads you to a life of procrastinating professionally. It leads you into a life of procrastinating in your relationships and putting things off. Listen to what James is saying. He said, one of the three biggest mistakes this man made is not following the will of God, putting it off for another time. Look at the last verse we read, verse 17. Verse 16, too. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If I could give you any advice to take with you, it's do not wait until after this season of your life to live for Jesus. So if you're graduating or you've already graduated and you're working on building a family, listen, it's busy. I know it is. Every stage, every season of life, it seems it gets busier. Don't wait until this season's over to start living your life for Jesus. Because before you know it, you'll be 43 years old. And it'll happen. I'm talking about just like that. 17 years ago, you were coming into the world. I was coming into this church to serve on staff here. And I'm telling you, I had hair and probably 34-inch waist. And it happened just like that. And if you wait until the next season of life to live for Jesus, you'll never live for him. Don't wait to live your life with eternity in mind. That's what James is saying. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Live your life today with eternity in mind, thinking about heaven, making investments today for eternity, serving today with eternity in mind, giving today, living today, walking with Jesus today, making a decision of which path you're going to go down, not with retirement in mind, but with eternity in mind. God saved you to be different. And he saved you to be his son and his daughter in this world. It's time now, whatever season of life you're in, it's time now to make that decision that you've put off to live your life sold out for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. As we pray together this morning, I want to encourage you. Wherever you are in life, whatever season of life you're in, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for you to accomplish. Now, you and I don't know how many tomorrows we have. We don't know when this life on this earth ends for us. For some of us, we think it's probably going to be a long way, and it's probably not. That's just the reality of life, right? I don't live scared to die. If we live scared and worrying about death, we'll never live. God's called us. God saved us to live this life all out for Jesus. No matter what season of life you're in, what's it going to take for you to sell out completely to Him? This message isn't just for senior graduates, it's for all of us. All of us are guilty of godless planning. All of us are guilty of presuming things, that we have a future here on this earth. All of us are guilty of putting things off, the will of God off, procrastinating in our life. Whatever it is God's speaking to your heart today, I want you to feel full freedom to respond however God wants you to respond. Maybe today it's a commitment that's personal and right there in the pew. Maybe today it's something that's public and you want to come here to this altar. And maybe you as a husband and a wife, maybe you as a family, you want to come. Maybe you want to grab your graduate and just say, hey, let's pray over this next season of your life. Let's pray for God to use you for your purpose. Let's pray for God to protect you, not just your life, but your testimony. Let's pray for God to raise you up and to give you power and authority on wherever you head, that God would use you. Maybe you as mom and dad just want to come here with your graduate. You've prayed over them your whole life. Why not pray over them now? Whatever it is God's leading you to do, maybe God is leading you to come and be a part of this family of faith. Come on. Our pastors will be here. You come. In the moment we stand together, you come. Maybe God's been drawing you to be saved. You come, whatever it is. Let me pray for us and we'll stand together. God, you're good. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for us. And God, I pray that we would live our life with our faith. God, we would live our life walking and desiring to discern your will for our life. God, we would live our life with your purpose and your plan in mind. God, I pray for our future, our days. God, that we would sell our life out to Jesus Christ. We give you this time. God, move in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.